Isaiah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread, the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, and the counselor and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, or the older folks, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. Notice in verse 8, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because with their tongue what they say and their doings what they do are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. Verse 8 says again, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. Verse 8 talks about Jerusalem. That's like our Washington, D.C. Talks about Judah. That's like our country. And he says, Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen. I'm going to try to preach this morning on America is fallen. We need to look at our country, I suppose, like never before. Our country has been blessed by the Lord abundantly. In fact, that's my first point. America is favored. I believe this country started right. I believe it started on godly principles, with most of the people wanting to worship the Lord. And that's why many of them, if not most of them, left where they were to come to this country. But it says in first chapter, verse 2, it says, the Lord have spoken, I have nourished and brought up children. He says, I have nourished these people called Israel or Judah. It literally means to make great. He says, I have brought up children. The thought is to make high. And this country has been blessed like no other country I know of other than Israel. And we've had about 244 years of being blessed. But things may be changing. We may see some difference coming up down the horizon. The Lord has blessed our country abundantly. What other country do you know that people are fighting to get into? Not anyone that I know of other than America. People want to come here because they know there's opportunity here. I say it again, there's no greater country on earth. There's no more successful country on earth. We give billions to other countries. We do a lot of good things, sometimes not as wise as we should, but we do because we're able. And the reason is because God has blessed. And I believe the reason He has blessed us is because this country was built on godly principles and on biblical principles. And even our law system, when it was first established, was based on the Bible and saying, if you do wrong, you pay for it. So this country has been favored. It is a country that is favored, but I'm afraid it's a country that is forgetting. Chapter 1, verse 3, it's talking about the same people that we're looking at here. God said, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. He said, an ox in the stall or a donkey in the crib has enough sense to every once in a while look at its owner as though to say, thank you. I know where my food comes from. I know where this shelter came from. I know the one that has given me what I have. And because of him, I live and survive. He says even a dumb animal has enough sense to every once in a while look up to the provider and say, thank you. But he continues by saying, Israel doesn't ever look at me and say, thank you. It's a country that is forgetting. And I'm afraid that's exactly how our country is. Our country is forgetting the God that's been so good to her. We have forgotten how we got where we are as far as being blessed. We have forgotten the God of heaven. We have forgotten his blessings. We have forgotten the Bible. I mentioned first a country that is favored, our country has been. I mentioned secondly a country that is forgetting we are. But then I want to mention number three, a country that is forsaking. Chapter 1, verse 4 says, all sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward. He says, my people have been favored and my people have been forgetting, and now they are forsaking me. He says, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. God said, I have blessed you so much and I have been so good to you, and you have forgotten me, and now you are forsaking me and living as you please. And he says, do you not know it's going to make me angry? Do you not understand I have a right to be angry because of how I've done you and how you're doing me? Isaiah 1:2 says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Rebel means to break from authority. It's like a spoiled child that refuses to listen. God's the one that made her great. And she has not only forgotten him, but now she is forsaking him. Verse 8 of chapter 3, I've already read it, says, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. He said, because of what they say and what they do, I'm angry at them. Are we to expect God to just keep on taking our ignoring him and our neglect of him and our living like we do as far as our country, and him just keep pouring good things on us? I hope we don't think that, because it's not going to happen. And by the way, it isn't happening now. I'm afraid we're about to see some judgment ahead. I think we may be seeing some of it right now. Isaiah 1:10 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law, our God, ye people of Gomorrah. He says, you're like Sodom and Gomorrah. And one of their problems with Sodom and Gomorrah was not just the homosexuality, but because of their pride and their arrogance and their sin. They thought they could live as they pleased and God wouldn't notice. But boy, I'll tell you what, he did notice. And he dealt with them. I'm talking about a country that is forsaking Israel. Judah forsook the God who loved them. And what made it worse than anything else was not the sin out in the slums, not down at the bar or at the red light district. That was bad and it displeased God and angered him. But what displeased him and hurt him more than anything else was they kept right on with their religious program the whole time. They were still religious. Chapter 1, verse 11 says, to what purpose is the multitude of thy sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of ram and the fat of fed beasts. and I delight not in the blood of the bullocks. He says, why in the world are you still bringing sacrifices to me? You come, if you will, to church, to the temple, and you bring the sacrifices, and you keep on going through the routine, and you act like everything's all right, and you act like I'm not going to notice. He says, do you not realize I do notice what you do, and I do hear what you say? Why in the world do you act like, listen, that everything's all right when you know it's not? He says, I am full of your burnt offerings. He says, I am sick of your offerings. Quit bringing them to me because you don't mean them with your heart. In fact, verse 13 of chapter 1 says, bring no more vain oblations. He says, just stop doing it. It's not real. You're going through the program. You're going through the routine. You don't mean it. You're not living right, so don't even pretend. Just stop doing it. There's a country that is forsaking, and so is this country we're living in. I notice he doesn't just go to the slums, like I said, or to the red light district, or to the bars. He doesn't go to the West Ends of yesteryear to find out what the country's like. He doesn't go to just Washington, D.C. He doesn't just go to the White House. He doesn't go to Bourbon Street, and he doesn't go to the underground of Atlanta. He doesn't go to the dark streets of New York only. But he goes to the church house. He goes to God's house. He comes to the pew. He goes to the pulpit. He comes here to investigate to see how this country is. Oh, our country, the world's always been rotten. And it is worse than I have ever seen it. It's worse than I ever dreamed of possible. But God not only is concerned about what they're doing out there, He's concerned about what we're doing in here. And maybe more so. Because we're supposed to be the light, and we're supposed to be the salt, and we're the one that's supposed to live right in spite of what's going on. So He says, now I know the country's forsaken me, but what about my people? Have they forsaken me? Have they forgotten me? He comes to the church house. And I don't know if you remember or if you knew about it. Just a couple examples. A while back, there was a so-called pastor in Thomasville that thought the great idea of going to a beer joint to have a Bible study. And they called it Jesus on Tap. Well, I want to tell you something. That's a sign that we're in trouble. I wrote that so-called pastor an email. Never did hear a comment or a reply. And I was nice, but direct. And then just not long ago, a few days ago, another so-called pastor in High Point, don't know if you saw it or know about it, put on the back of their church van a notice that I couldn't even read to you in public. I couldn't even say the words that this so-called pastor put on their church van. I'm going to tell you something. That's a sign that we're in trouble. If that's the religious bunch, if that's the one that shows this world what God's like, we are in trouble. I'm saying this is a country that was forsaken God, and so is our country. Not just the world, not just the slums, but the church house. That's what God looks at. Isaiah 1:15 says, and when you spread, listen to what God says to these people, His people, religious bunch. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. He says, you can come to me and ask all you want to. I'm not going to listen. And I got a question, why should he? To a people who have forsaken and forgotten him and have devoured his good things and consumed his blessings, and now so many times we walk selfishly and unconcerned. We walk our own way like Israel. I want to ask God, why would you answer our prayer? Why would you hear our cry? We still many times want a God that will bless us, but we don't want a God that asks of us anything. We honestly want a babysitter and not a God. We want a genie in a bottle that we can rub and grant our wishes, or a Santa Claus that will bring us what we want. But we don't want a God that says, you're going to serve me? Am I worthy? Am I worthy? Have I done enough to deserve you serving me? Do you love me? It's a country that is forsaking, I'm afraid our country is. And I'm afraid our churches are. A country that is favored. God has blessed us like He blessed Israel. A country that is forgetting Israel did and we are. A country that is forsaking Israel did and we are. But then lastly, a country that has fallen. Verse 8 of chapter 3, for Jerusalem, Washington, D.C., is ruined. And Judah, America, is fallen. Verse 1 says, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff. He says, I have blessed you abundantly, and you have ignored me, shunned me, sinned against me, and walked your own way. He says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take away what I've been providing. I will withdraw my blessings. I will take away the stay and the staff. That means what it takes to survive. He says, you can't ignore me without consequences. The same God that took her up was going to take her down. And I'm afraid that might be happening to our country. I do know this. No other nation on earth has treated God the way America has and survived. And I don't think we'll be the first. And we may be seeing the beginning of something where He's trying to get our attention. Isaiah 1:7 says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. Your land, strangers devour in your presence. Now, I'm not against someone from outside our country coming in to try to get the American dream. But I am a bunch of criminals coming outside of our country coming to try and take over our country, or a bunch of false teachers coming in trying to tell us how to live for God. I'm all for people coming in the right way. I really am. That's what America's about. But most of what we're seeing now is people who are criminals and hate our country coming in to get our goods. And I don't think God's pleased with it, but He said, because you've treated me the way you are, that's what's going to happen. Because you've treated me the way you have, that's what's going to happen. People from outside, strangers, will come into your land and devour you in your very presence. Your land, strangers, devoured in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. I really wonder who really controls America already. How much of our country is controlled by foreigners from afar or have come in. And we think that's just normal. I tell you what, it's not normal. God has backed off of America and said, okay, you don't want me, you don't have to have me, but you'll suffer the consequences. Strangers were foreigners, and He says, in your presence, they'll devour you. Isaiah 3, verse 4, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. If that isn't true of our country today, I don't know what time of day it is, or if it's daylight or dark. Listen, I will give children to be their princes. I will give people in the places of authority, the leaders, that act like a bunch of children. Is that our country or not? I'm telling you, I believe the insane are in charge of the asylum. It is amazing how dumb our leaders are. They act worse than children. And I ask why. There's times they do stuff and say stuff, and I think, what in the world is wrong with you? And I think, I'll tell you what's wrong. God's taking His hand off this country a little bit. And He's letting children run it. And if we ain't careful, they're going to run it in the ground. He said, this is all because America has fallen because of what we've done to God and how we've ignored Him. I will give children to be thy princes, and babes shall rule over them. Isaiah 3 verse 5 says, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. Neighbor against neighbor. Have you watched the news? Have you watched the streets of our country where people are fighting against each other? Neighbor against neighbor. I'm telling you, we got a civil war going on in this country. It hadn't been labeled yet, but that's what we got. Our country has been divided. Why? Maybe just because we have forgotten Him. We have forsaken Him. So He's backed off a little bit and says, okay, you go ahead and run her, but you're going to take the results. You're going to have to live through the consequences. Neighbor against neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. The young people have no respect for the elderly. Now, that's always been true to a degree. The beaver cleaver days have been over a pretty good while. But nothing like today, where the younger despise and forsake and ignore the older and have no respect whatsoever. God says, this is what happens when people mistreat me. This is what happens when people forget me. This is what happens when people walk away and I back off a little bit. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. The sinful, the rotten, the wretched. No honor, no respect to those who do right. You watch the commercials lately? I'm telling you, where men are kissing men and women are kissing women, and if you say one word about it, something's wrong with you. The base, the rotten, the wretched, the wicked have no respect for the honorable. Those who love bad have no respect for those who love good. The criminals are sneering at authority. The young are revolting against authority. And all this that Isaiah talks about, listen to me. I'm not through my message yet. Was 150 years before the judgment really came. And you know what happened? They ignored what he said because they looked around and said, well, it doesn't seem that bad to me. Seems like things are going all right to me. So they thought we got plenty of time, or we thought it's not as bad as it all says here, and they ignored God's message. It went long enough to where they said, I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're all right. But you know what happened? It did happen. God judged them, and they went into captivity. They were driven out of their country and had to go live pretty much as slaves. And God said, if you keep ignoring me, that's what's going to happen. But they kept ignoring Him, and they paid the consequences. And I'm afraid our country might do the same. So what am I to do? Do we just gripe about it and go home? I hope not. Do we just paint the ugly picture and pretend it's okay? I hope not. So what do? Number one, realize our situation. We need to realize we are in trouble, folks. You think about the coronavirus, it ain't nothing. I think it's just a part of what I'm talking about. God is taking His hand off our country. And if He does that, we are in a mess. I mean, there's other countries, there's one virus has shut her down, one germ. There's nuclear bombs, there's viruses, there's social, there's financial. Listen, we are in a mess financially. We're in a mess. So we need to realize our situation and realize the answer is not new laws. The answer is not saying a honorable person and a law-abiding citizen should not have a gun. That's about as dumb as anything I've ever heard in my life. Do they really think a criminal is going to give up their guns because they pass a law? That is a child running the country. So we need to realize our situation. Realize that our hope is not in new laws. Our hope is not in new politicians. Our only hope is to repent and confess our sin as a country. We've passed new laws. We've gone through the legislation. We've fixed things that were broken, and it took one judge or one politician to back all that up and reverse it. So why in the world? We need to realize our hope is in God and not anybody else, including our politicians. Should we vote? Sure. Should we pray? Yes. Should we try and get in good and godly people? Yes. But our hope's still not in the White House. It's in the church house. It's not a legislation building. It's in our prayer closet. That's where our hope is. Need to realize our situation. We need to retain our standards. It ain't time to back down now. It's not time to quit living right. It's time to live right more. It's not time to give up our standards and our convictions. It's time to hold on to them more than we ever have before. It is the answer. Pure living got this country blessed, and pure living will get it blessed again. Retain your standards. Hey, I'll tell you what. The devil's getting some of you down. Listen to me, parking lot. The devil's getting some of you down. And if you don't recognize what's going on, he is going to take you out. Are you listening to me? He's going to take you out, and it'll be your fault because you didn't trust God. We need to retain our standards. Maury said it. Little sweet Lori. My soldier. I'm a soldier. It's time to stand. It's not time to give up. It's not time to quit. It's not time to back off. It's not time to let up. It's not time to compromise. It's time to stand like never before. Leonard Ravenhill said this, no nation is better than its churches, and no church is better than its people. Can I say that again? No nation is better than its churches, and no church is better than its people. That means me and you. This church will be what we are, and this community will be what this church is. Realize our situation. We're in a mess. Retain our standards. It ain't time for me to quit or back up. Number three, resist our self. I've already said it. Boy, the devil's fighting. I honestly have never seen anything like it in my life. Try being a pastor for a while. You think it's discouraging to see it on your side of the fence. You ought to try our side of the fence. I'm telling you, we are in a mess, and the only hope is that I make sure myself I'm right. I can't do anything about anybody, including you. But I can, with God's help, do something about me. Resist ourselves. Paul said, Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Brother Chester sings that the old man is dead. We ought to live like it. Our old man will take us down. Our flesh will take us down. Our flesh will take us away. But we need to resist ourselves. Resist our flesh. Say no. I think about Lester Roloff and how he would do things just because his flesh wanted to. Who was it just the other day said that he went and took a cold shower because his flesh wanted a hot one? Well, I'll leave that up to Lester Roloff, but I want to tell you one thing. It is time for us to say no to self. No to our flesh. No to our flesh. No to our flesh. No's not a bad word. It's a good word. And during this day when everything seems to be falling apart, there needs to be somebody that will say, I'm going to do right. Resist yourself. Resist your flesh. What do we do? Realize our situation. Retain our standards. Resist ourselves. Number four, remember our Savior. We're not alone. If it wasn't for him, we would be in a mess. We're in a mess, but we're not alone. Remember our Savior. The God who took her up is still on the throne. The God who spoke the universe into existence is still in charge. The God who forgave us and saved us is still listening to us and watching us. and will give us grace for what we face. Philippians 4:13, still in the book, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do anything necessary if I'll let Him give me the strength. I'm going to read this and I'll be done. Some say Alexander Tyler said this. We really don't know. And who said it doesn't matter, but I want you to listen very closely. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largess from the public treasury, in other words, benefit. When they realize the way I vote will get me stuff. Don't you know there's groups of people that makes their vote because they know that person's going to give them more stuff than the other person? I hope you do. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that the democracy always collapses over loose official policy, always followed by a dictatorship. The average age, listen to this, the average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence. He said, the average country lasts 200 years. We're over that, but we're hurting. Listen to the progression of these countries. Listen to this and compare it to our country. From bondage to spiritual faith, people under bondage get burdened about their condition and get right with God and repent. From bondage to spiritual faith, number two. From spiritual faith to great courage, God stirs in their heart, gives them faith to trust the Lord, and they stand for Him. Number three, from courage to liberty, that's our country. People said, I will worship the way God wants me to, and they were willing to stand by faith, and God blessed this country with liberty. Number three, from courage to liberty. Number four, from liberty to abundance. And that's what our country has seen. God has blessed us abundantly. Number five, from abundance to selfishness. When God blesses a people, they better be careful that they don't get used to it or take it for granted. Our country has. From abundance to selfishness. Number six, from selfishness to apathy. Don't care. I got what I want. I got what I need. Leave me alone. Country in a mess? Tell somebody else. People need to repent? Tell somebody else. An apathy has settled across our country that is absolutely alarming. Then number seven. Number six was from selfishness to apathy. Number seven, from apathy to dependence. If this country stopped giving away free stuff, an awful lot of people would starve because they depend completely on the government. And I'm all for helping people who do the best they can. That's a part of what the country ought to be. It ought to be. But a lot of it is nothing but a bunch of lazy bums that wouldn't work, and they're just getting stuff from me and you. And God says, through this man, I believe, that's what happens. And He looks at history and said, that's what happens. Number seven, from apathy to dependence, listen to this. Number nine, from dependence back into bondage. The first was from bondage to spiritual faith. The last is they go right back into bondage again. That's where we're at. We're in bondage as a nation. And we shouldn't be. But I'm wondering, are we in bondage as far as God's people? And we surely shouldn't be. God said, I'll bless you, but if you forget me, I'll take my blessings off. But all through this, we need to realize God has a remnant. He has a few, a small remnant. That's what the Bible says. Of people who will stay true in spite of what's going on. I want to be a part of that remnant. Don't you want to be? where you're not overwhelmed with what's going on, that you're not dragged down the drain with the rest of the country and world. And the Lord says, if you want my help, I'll give it. But it starts by you looking at yourself. Yourself. Not the world, not the country, not the politicians, not Washington, but yourself. Let's stand together.